Okay, should we pray just quickly? Oh, Lord God, we thank you so much for your mercy, Lord. We know that we do not deserve it. We thank you, Lord, that we can sing, we've just sung, about your grace. And we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done. And we pray, Lord, you be with us as we look at your word. And pray, Lord, you help us to understand what you are saying to us. We thank you, Lord, you are such a gracious God. Okay, the passage that I'll be reading through and looking at is Romans 5, 1-15. God's really amazing. Andrew spoke to me the other evening, a couple of weeks ago, about whether I'd consider doing this, and that night I read part of this passage, and I thought it'd be a really good thing to bring to us. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin is with us in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? There's so much in this passage, and in verse 1 it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified. It's through faith, and that justification gives us peace with God, and that is through Jesus Christ. So that is the legal contract that has been set up for us who are Christians. We are justified, we are forgiven, we are made right with God, we are at peace with God. And that is through Jesus Christ. It's nothing of what we've done, but it is through Christ. And through that we've gained access by faith into this grace which we now stand. We are fallen human beings, but we've been given access by faith into the grace, the free gift that God has given us through the death of his Son, that we can be forgiven. And we stand in that. No, we don't need to shrink back. We stand in Christ. And what do we boast in? The hope of the glory of God. No, that's our boast. Now, we know as Christians that when everything else passes away, we will be with him in glory. And so many people chase after things of this world, don't they? And they try and fill their lives with so much. and it's just meaningless. But we can boast in the hope of the glory of God because he has saved us. And we can boast in or glory in his sufferings because it's through his sufferings that we are cleansed, we are forgiven. And when we suffer, we have to recognize we don't suffer anything like Christ suffered. And we know that everything that comes to us as Christians is for our own good. God loves us so much. He doesn't do anything that isn't for our own benefit. At the time, if we're going through trials now, at the time we don't often can't see where it's leading. But I'm sure you found it. Afterwards, when you look back, you can see how much God has been in the situation. And I know when I went through really hard times, that's the closest I've ever been to God. And it's so precious. And we see here, don't we? We glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Everything we go through is for our own benefit and for the glory of God. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Our hope in Christ will not put us to shame. Verse 6, when did Christ find us? At just the right time, when we were still powerless. We couldn't do anything for ourselves, but he found us just the right time. Christ died for the ungodly, and we all know that we were certainly ungodly, and in many ways now we sin and we let Christ down, but he is always there, strengthening us and protecting us. Verse 8 says, and God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's amazing, isn't it? If you consider what it means to be a sinner, we're a total enemy to God. We hated God. We didn't want anything to do with him. He hunted us down. He looked us out. He saved us. And that's so amazing. Verse 9, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled, and basically reconciliation is our relationship was restored to God. So through Christ's death, we had the relationship that as mankind, Adam and Eve had initially. Our relationship to God has been restored back to how it was then as Christians. So I've got to step back there. While we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. So again, we're boasting through what Christ has done for us. Later on, I'm going to go on a little bit about how we should be witnesses. And, surely our boasting, that is, comes out in the way we witness to people. In Sunday school this morning, we're looking at Saul shortly after his conversion. And the first thing he did was went to the synagogues and preached. That was his natural reaction to being shown the truth. And this is what we should be doing, not necessarily in synagogues, obviously, but with those that we know. Verse 12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. Okay, we know that basically through Adam, we all inherit sin. We can't look at Adam and say, if we're in a perfect world, we've never sinned. Because we're human and we sin all the time, don't we? So we inherit sin through Adam. Verse 13, I think, and 14, I think it's quite interesting. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. It's pointed out there that obviously Adam and Eve, they were commanded not to eat of the fruits of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And they sinned by breaking that command. It wasn't for many years afterwards that the law of Moses was given, but people were still sinning. And the law of Moses was brought to show people how much they sinned. It was an indication of that the sin was there already, and nobody could keep the law perfectly, but it showed them their need of a saviour and that they couldn't be good enough themselves. So that's what the law did then, as the law does now. It shows us that we are sinners, that we can't do anything to help ourselves or save ourselves, and the only way that we can be forgiven is through Christ and through his death. And verse 15, but the gift is not like the trespass, for in many died by the trespass of the one man. How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? It was one man, Adam, who broke God's command. But Christ came after many had sinned, and he paid for the debt of sin for everyone before him and everybody after him. So every time that we sin, Christ paid for that on the cross. So we should bear that in mind. We shouldn't sin lightly. We should know that every time we sin, that calls pain to Christ when he paid for our sins. Okay, that's as much as I want to say on that, I think, really. It's all getting old, isn't it? Yeah, the particular verse that the guy pulls out in this is Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. My friend was having a conversation with a man who didn't have much good to say about the Christian faith. My friend knew that if he were to sound too religious, he would jeopardize any chance to witness. So in the middle of the conversation, he said, "Hey, Bob, do you know where sinners go?" "That's easy," he replied. "They're going to go to hell." "No," my friend responded, "they go to church." Bob was speechless. That wasn't what he expected. He wasn't ready to hear from a Christian who realized he wasn't perfect. My friend had a chance to share that Christians understand their sinfulness and their need for continual spiritual restoration. He was able to explain grace, the unmerited favour we have with God despite our sinfulness. Romans 5:8-9. Perhaps we don't give those outside the church a clear picture of what's happening inside. They might not understand that we're there to praise our Saviour for providing redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sins. Yes, sinners go to church, and sinners, forgiven ones, go to heaven because of God's grace. We're far from perfection, yet perfect forever. For Christ is our righteousness, Lord, and our Saviour. No justification for sin can we offer, yet sanctified fully, we're now his forever. And I know people have heard this before, but the little ditty at the end is, a church is a hospital for sinners, not a club for saints. I thought that was really good. Because, you know, so often we can sort of condemn people, can't we? And I thought it was really clever the way the guy said that sinners go to church. And we're all sinners, and no, we should be witnessing to our colleagues and friends, and I'm planning to use that at some point at school, because there's a guy there, he said, heaven would never have me, and if I went to hell, I'd rule it or something. There's also the lad that, when I spoke to him, I said, I can't understand the people that won't accept charity, but think stealing's all right. Well, isn't it? You don't want charity, but you can nick stuff. And that's the upside-down world we live in. And I said, but what's the difference? You're taking something that doesn't belong to you. Somebody's giving something that doesn't belong to you. but it's legal. They've given it to you. It's a sad world. Oh, Lord God, we thank you for who you are, Lord. We've been reminded tonight of how much we owe to you, Lord, and how great your grace is. We realize how sinful we were and how sinful we still are, Lord, but you were willing to come to this earth and you were willing to hunt us down, you were willing to save us, even though we were your enemies. We thank you so much for that, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that you would help us to live the lives, Lord, help us live a life that bring you glory, Lord, that we would look to serve you, Lord, and not serve ourselves. We so often get caught up in our daily lives and the rush and tear, and we often forget you. We pray, Lord, that you forgive us for that, Lord, and that you would bring us close to you. And we do thank you so much, Lord, for the emblems that we are about to take, Lord. We thank you for the bread, Lord, showing us that your body was broken, Lord, and showing us how much you loved us. You were willing to suffer all that pain and anguish and for us. We thank you, Lord, that you're willing to shed your blood, that we could be cleansed, Lord. We realize, Lord, we are sinners before you, but you've cleansed us, Lord, and we can stand before your Father in heaven, justified and with white robes, Lord, as if we'd never sinned. We thank you so much for that. We pray, Lord, that that would spur us on as well to witness for you, Lord, and to tell our friends and neighbors and those we meet day by day about your great love. So we do thank you so much and pray, Lord, you be with us. Amen.